When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. And with me, I've got two absolute titans of the Manchester United fan base. We've got Abdullah. How are we doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Yeah.
You all right? Are you fully back in, like, England, Britain, Manchester mode now after your World Cup?
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, your sleep patterns and everything else and the weather and all that, you fully back in the Mancunian swing of things?
Yeah.
After your trip to Qatar, yeah?
Yeah, the weather, I think, does it, innit?
Brings you back down to earth very quickly. And, of course, a man who needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway, Mr. Andy Tate, the only Andy Tate that matters, by the way, on the internet.
Yeah. I am outside the Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, as they say, in the world that is computer-generated.
How are we, Andy?
I'm all right, mate. I'm buzzing. After last season.
A bit positive, aren't they?
Positive. And they say you should be calm and it's okay to be optimistic.
Of course it is.
People shoot you down even if you're optimistic, and it's today's the way the world is. Just be hopeful and optimistic. Sodom.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We've had a hard time in general, and as fans, and it's like, you know what? If you have got something to be happy about, be happy. And if you want to get carried away, there's nothing wrong with that. One thing that's sort of not getting carried away with is the way that Erik ten Hag has rejuvenated some of these Manchester United players, which we are going to get into in a minute. We're going to talk about not the players that he's brought in, the signings, because they've been immense, the likes of Casemiro and Martinez and Eriksen. What I want to talk about, just before we get to all that, what I want to talk about is the players that have improved under him. So, talk about Rashford, talk about Luke Shaw, talk about maybe even throwing Aaron Wan-Bissaka after his recent performances. We're going to get into that in a little while. First, though, just this weekend, I mean, Abdullah, I'll start with you. It wasn't just that United had a result that was good. A few of the other results went our way as well, didn't they? So it's been a positive weekend.
Yeah, they did. And I think, you know, when City dropped some points, I think it's what's so interesting, I'll start with City. I think that just looking at the way they play, I think Haaland, obviously Haaland, and he'll score a lot of goals. But I think they definitely missed that, like, sometimes that interplay and that, like, someone to just come short, give and go. And I think Haaland's brilliant and he'll become, like, even a more accomplished forward.
Of course he will.
But will he be at City anyways when that becomes the thing? We don't know. But right now, as a team, I think they're definitely lacking something. I think you can still get at them. They're always going to turn up against United and play at their best. That's a given. But I think in a lot of the other games I've watched this season, and I say it's someone that obviously rates what Pep's done in the game, they've really been off it, and I think you can get at them. Newcastle come to Old Trafford. Newcastle have been solid. They've been great this season. They come to Old Trafford. They didn't really threaten enough this season. And when they come to Old Trafford, and that 0-0, obviously Marcus missed a big opportunity there in the end. Should have probably come on early in the game. Should have started anyways ahead of Ronaldo, in my opinion. But again, When you look at some of the games we've had against these teams, City was a frustrating one. The games where we dropped points, the two big losses you'd say that stood out were the ones before we'd made those crucial signings in Casemiro. We know what he's done for us now. Then you look at, what was it?
The Villa game.
They had Unai Emery. And I think when I come here, I'd done the stream, I said instantly, I was like, that is a problem. Because I was like, you know what? Villa as a squad are actually a good squad. But Gerrard never done right by them. I think Watkins, Buendia, Leon Bailey, brilliant front three. So balanced. I watched that Spurs game. Every opportunity they were making something happen. So that was always going to be a difficult game. Again, we had players missing in that game, had to shuffle Renato, Rashford onto the touchline, onto the right, Garnacho, a lot of responsibility for him. So there's actually been a lot of reasoning when we've dropped points, and it can come off as excuses. But to be fair, I think United haven't really had a settled 11 yet. They haven't, like, you looked at the season, I think we almost know what Ten Hag's preferred 11 just because we see what he prefers when there's no injuries. But they've never really played together. Like, you look at Dalot, Wan-Bissaka's done great coming in, but you look at Diogo Dalot, he started the season so well, went to the World Cup, he's done brilliantly. Like, he'd probably be starting. Malacia's starting at left back. He's had some good games. He looks really raw. He's a lot of energy, but still a lot to work
with. We'll get into all the players and especially the ones that improved, but Abdul was making a point there about Manchester City. Arsenal have obviously got off to a bit of a flyer. Newcastle have surprised a lot of people, myself included. One team that aren't doing too well is Chelsea. Now, before the season started, I'd have thought Chelsea, with Todd Boehly playing Championship manager, with Thomas Tuchel, who was still the manager at the time, you think they're going to be in the top four conversation and pretty much nailed on for top four. Now it's not so certain. I think they've had 2 wins out of the last 8 in all competitions, 1 win in 7, I think, in the league.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, they went ahead at Forest. You think that's it, they'll win. They didn't. They drew.
3 draws, 3 losses.
3 draws, 3 losses. I mean, Chelsea are sort of struggling a little bit, aren't they? And I think they've got back-to-back games with Man City coming up.
Yeah, basically, I think them 2 games will define their season, what they're going to do, if they're going to be another cup side or they've got any chance at the top four. But I think eventually, this is our opportunity because Chelsea will click eventually.
Right, okay.
If you look at it, Chelsea, I think next season, it would be a more settled.
But this season, though, do you see Chelsea making top four?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Unless they win the Champions League.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because you think, you take Chelsea out, happy days, but I think Arsenal will make the top four. I'm not taking the mick, but I didn't know that going into this season.
You mean going in at the start? Yeah,
I thought they might finish 8th again or 5th or whatever. But I think now, I don't think they'll win the league, but I think they'll at least make the top 4.
Do you still think they won't win the league, Arsenal?
I still think City will pull it out of the bank. I hope I'm wrong, because I personally would rather Arsenal.
I would
rather
United,
obviously.
City can go on a 10-15 game.
I just don't see City with Haaland not winning the league.
That's where I was saying at the start. I think I was saying the same exact thing, but I think you got to look past the goals. I think as a team, City have been too complacent on way too many occasions. With the Champions League coming in, we know how much City want that. There's still, for me, there's Grealish on and off. Foden has already started 1 game, I think, and I read this morning, he's started 1 game in the Premier League since the derby or something like that. I don't know what the score is with it.
But do you not feel, though, with City, we've seen this. Do you remember when we went toe-to-toe with Ole? And at Christmas, I think we were top.
Yeah,
and then they went on 27 game winning run or something, 25 game
run. We were ever like that ahead, though.
No, but the point is they did what they needed to do. They'd been poor that season, going, you know, they'd lost a few games, poor's probably a bit of a stretch, but they'd been inconsistent. And then they just went on this ridiculous winning run. And that's what I think, they've got that in their locker city. We've seen it time and time again. I know they lost 1 league to the Scousers.
No, and I think it'll be close.
When the Scousers were trying to retain the title, City did it again. They just went on this run where they just
21 games.
I just always feel like they've got it.
We beat them at the derby 2-0. They were 21 straight wins in our competition.
And I feel like they can do that. I mean, I might be, you know.
But I think when you look at United at that time, I think bar the Liverpool one, City really like went all the way to the end. But I think the best opportunity to really get was that when we finished second and we just needed a defensive midfielder. Really, like, we'll be honest. Like,
start of
the season, we bought Danny van der Beek. And then we were crying out for a DM the whole season. Like, that was our main issue. But when you look at Arsenal, like, I think there's some moments the centre-backs and Ramsdale and things like that have where inexperience shows that could,
Saturday,
in
could
some crucial
it.
Games.
You could say that Saturday.
Who do you think is going to win the league?
I think it's going to be so tough. Honestly.
I agree, it's Saturday.
I think United are going to go a lot closer than people think, and I would like an experience
like that to do for the following season.
But I think I think Arsenal win it. I think it's going to be between United, Arsenal, City, and I think United are going to go on a run now. But it's very, very, very dependent on pulling off this long.
I know there's lots of ifs and buts. Very dependent on that. But you think if you had to bet, I know you're not a betting man, but if you had to if you had to call it now, you say an Arsenal.
Yeah, I think Arsenal.
What about you?
I'm saying City. But I'm saying we will flirt with it.
Yeah.
We will flirt with it.
United flirt with it, City and Arsenal come the closest and Arsenal win.
Because, like,
I agree with everything you're saying, I've got City pipping Arsenal. I don't know. Listen, the thing that makes me feel that City is still in a fighting chance as well, they've got to play them twice, I think.
Yeah. Oh.
Because the game got postponed.
That's a very good point.
And City have done it before.
I thought they'd already beat them.
Remember when the Scousers went to...
Postponed.
At the Etihad, and it was if Liverpool won, they'd go 11 points clear. And if City won, it was down to five or whatever. I'm probably getting that wrong.
I remember that.
But
I
mean, Arsenal, City did what
Arsenal
they needed to
got
do.
Newcastle, Tottenham, United.
You know, I think we beat them. I think, see, I still think Arsenal win the league, but I think we beat them. But
Liverpool
it's a good point.
Away, Newcastle
I'll
away.
I'll get into some of the comments and we'll carry on with this. Ed says, Abdul and Andy Tate are smoking something good. Listen, I'm on it.
I'd rather be on it than bleeding not on it.
Exactly. Lee Birch agrees with her. Says United will win the league. Double Lord says, this Andrew Tate is my top G. Someone was asking, forgive me, I've forgotten who it was. It's scrolled down. What football top are you wearing?
This is an exclusive World Cup Adidas Star one from Qatar.
It's Carnelian Sounders asking, what's Abdul's shirt? Sorry.
So yeah, I bought this from Qatar. It's like an exclusive World Cup thing they done. Mesbury was wearing it on a Sky Sports video. Check
World
it out.
Cup,
and Mesbury were sharing the same
shirt. What are you lying for? You got it from Primark 10 minutes ago. Never mind the exclusive stuff. Yeah. Beers says, I think we are a little too fragile. Sligo, James John says, Arsenal has to lose three. The thing is, I think the test will come out. So if you have a bit of a wobbly spell, can they recover from it? Because sometimes, you know,
that's where the
teams who are
shows.
Flying... You know, we've done it. We started off really well, and then you have one loss, lose one or two, and then the wheels come off.
I think that's where the personalities in the team really show. And I think one thing Man United have as a unit, like, don't get me wrong, Arsenal are frightening, like one of the most frightening attacks in Europe right now.
Oh, yeah.
Saka, Odegaard's fantastic. I think Odegaard's finally living up to that potential.
He was rocking on Saturday for about 10 minutes because Brighton had the chance, then he went right the other end.
But the problem's at the back, so the experience.
That could be the problem.
Ben White's, I think, their best defender, but the centre-backs.
I think the goalkeepers are erratic.
Ramsdale. I think they've all got great futures, a lot of those defensive players, but we see that happen to when teams are just not ready yet. And then, so that's why, like, I am... The thing is, in my mind, I'm like, I want Arsenal to do it over City because I don't want City to do the three-peat.
Still got Liverpool coming up the track.
I will say that, yeah.
It's a good point.
If you can just shift that stuff on there, we'll have a little look. No, I agree. I agree with, you know, listen, it is tight and...
You're 2016, Leicester.
I don't think United are going to leave
Leicester
by any stretch.
Leicester keep winning 1-0, 2-0.
You want to see United in that conversation. I think we might have just given ourselves a little bit too much to do. And I think we're on that thing. We've lost four already, haven't we? So it's like, you can only probably lose one or two more than
JJ, a scenario, what do you do if you're 2 points and there's a week to go in the transfer window, you're 2 points off the top?
If we're 2 points off the top, then we're well in it. That would mean Arsenal have dropped a lot of points.
So what do you prioritise? The league? Barcelona on the horizon. I just throw everything at the league.
I think we've got a squad now. I do, other than maybe attack.
Do you press the people upstairs?
Prioritise and go, right, well, we've got to rest people for the league because we've got the Barca game. I think you can have your cake and eat it.
You've still got to press the management for two games against Barcelona,
right? Martinez is suspended for one of a minute. So you've got to bring in someone for that. I think the main worry for me is if anything happens to Marcus Rashford.
Jake, I think
you're in all sorts of trouble.
I know it's hypothetical.
He's our only out-and-out goal scorer in a minute.
Jake, hypothetically, we could be 2 points off the top and in the League Cup final come the end of January. Then are you going to go to the bosses upstairs? Are you going to screw me around? Are you going to give what could be a really great season?
I had a screenshot of this in terms of our game.
So
I don't rate them too highly. Anyway, before we get into all that... 3-2-1, Happy New Year from our friends at Manscaped. Happy New Year, everyone, by the way, and Happy New Year to you lovely lot watching. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. And hopefully your balls have dropped if you're listening to this as well. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in Below the Waist Grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide. It keeps going up that because more and more men are getting involved. Who trust Manscaped trademarks. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for New Year. For a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. Because it's New Year's here. It's New Year's here. It's New Year. New balls with the global leaders in below the waist grooming. So this year, you take your package to the next level with their Performance Package 4.0 and other premium wet goods. Inside the Performance Package, you should know this by now, you've got the Lawnmower 4.0 with the advanced skin safe technology, reduces the cuts and nooks. Cuts and nooks? Cuts and nicks, yeah? Because you don't want that, do you?
No.
Not on your delicate parts. You've also got the 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land in 2023.
Who writes these, man?
No, not me. A grooming routine isn't complete without your crop preserver, your crop reviver, before showing your 2023 self. So go and check it out. You've got your anti-chafing boxers. If Joe was here, he'd be saying, how is your anti-chafing? I'd be saying, she's all right, she's on tablets. boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably, yeah? Because you want your package not just to look good, but to all your goodies to be stored properly. And that's what we've got with Manscaped. So you've got your little bag. You've got your premium package, your performance package. You've got your lawnmower 4.0 with its 4000K LED light. You've got your anti-chafing boxers, boxer briefs, yeah? You've got your crop preserver, your crop toner. You've got all that. You've got your weed whacker. In case you've got nose and ear hair like me when you get to a certain age, it's all there for you. Click in the link on the description. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code Devils20. You've also got the ultra premium body wash 2-in-1 shampoo. Not that I need it, but you know, I like to rub it on me. I don't pretend I've got hair. And the body deodorant as well. Go and check it out. Your balls will thank you in 2023. And big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this podcast. Abdullah.
Pimp your balls, eh?
Yeah, man. You've got to look after your balls. Very important.
So, you getting your phone out? Just to look at this next set of games. So, obviously, we've got Bournemouth, Everton, Charlton. Different competition.
String of mouth-watering clashes I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You can only be what's in front of you, guys.
Exactly. But we're coming into a nice, you know, I think a nice group of fixtures, just because you're going to have City and Arsenal following that.
Yeah.
But I think you got that break from the Everton game to the Charlton game, 4 days there, then from the Charlton game to City. I think it's come quite nice for United, because you're going to, with the Everton game, I think they're out of form. And I think you can probably rotate.
Never underestimate.
You can't, obviously, what happened with City, but I think in general, I think you can get out of that defence. If you really get out of that defence, I don't think City done enough. I don't think City done enough in that game anyways. And I think Man United, with hopefully more of a settled forward line now, with hopefully Martial even up in his game a bit more, Rashford coming into form, we should be able to do that Everton team.
No replays either.
That's what
during
we don't
this
want.
Month, no replays.
Don't want any replays. Charlton game's a big one for us, because I think that's where you'd want to rotate. Listen, they're a League One team. They're not even, I think that last I looked, they were 15th, something like that.
Just sat the manager before Christmas.
Sat the manager, so... Again, like, I didn't even know that. So that's a side that even with rotation, United should be professional enough to see them out. Bring Casemiro out the team, play guys like McTominay in there, use the squad a bit better.
Rest Rashford for that as well.
Rest Rashford, give Garnacho the run at their defence. So Man United are in a very good position leading up to that City and Arsenal game. So they got a nice two cup fixtures, progressing those, use them as a reset. I think we've been unfortunate over the years sometimes in the last couple of seasons where you think, oh, this group of fixtures is mad. Like, we've got one after the other, one after the other. But this is where it's on Man United. There's no excuses. This is where it's, you've got to get the job done before you enter those City and Arsenal games.
You've got a fourth round possible FA Cup tie, home and away. You've got a two-legged semi-final with whoever. So the world's your ice. If you're going into them games on a run of form, I fancy our chances on anything to do anything.
Yeah, I hear you. Definitely, I think that you should get a lot of confidence from that. Look at the form we've shown as well. And the good thing about it, Ten Hag, is in the past, it's not just the big games United have flopped in. We've dropped so many points in the past to teams we should be beating. But Erik ten Hag, we seem to be able to get results. Even when we're not particularly playing brilliantly, we'll get a result. Or when we are playing well, we'll get a result. When it's a team he expects us to beat, we get a result. There's been a few banana skins where you look at it on paper, you go, Wolves away can be tricky.
Always for us, innit?
First game back from the World Cup, Burnley, and all this championship side, flying in their league. Obviously, a point to prove we're missing players. It's a comfortable victory in the end. Danny Shields, great to see you, Danny, at the event in Dublin. We were over in Dublin for a live event over the weekend. It was fantastic. He says, Sancho back at Carrington today. What do you think he needs to show to re-establish himself in the team? Andy, I'll ask you first.
Yeah, his willingness to learn, run at people now. Start running with the ball, looking up. Don't play safe football. Just like, go for it. Just be free and enjoy yourself.
Be himself, innit?
Be himself. Be the Sancho we know you can be from Borussia Dortmund. Just go free-flowing. Don't be cautious. Like I said, we all make mistakes. You learn from it. And that's what makes you a better player.
I think he is. It's a good point you make, because I feel like he is restricting himself a bit in terms of the way he's playing. But again, we don't know where he's at mentally, physically. And I think I sat on this table before the whole, you know, the World Cup and before the whole Sancho thing. And I was saying, I felt he was a bit too passive. I felt I've watched enough of Sancho at Dortmund, even Sancho in the City Academy. I've always been a fan of the kid to know that that's not him. His game's always been a bit more aggressive than
give
that.
Up on
bit
him.
More intense.
Don't
but
give up.
I won't. I think he's such a talented player. But what I'd like to say is, this is another test where I think Ten Hag will do the right thing. Antony does look a threat in some situations the last couple of games, but he's been generally not great, in my opinion.
Should have scored Saturday.
Should have scored two brilliant opportunities. One of them where he should have just hit with his foot, and then the header, to be fair, it was a good run from him. Couldn't really generate any power for, but no. I think he's got to give Sancho a run on the right, because I really like what him and Delo were doing in pre-season. Obviously, the guys were out there, and you must have seen like those combinations of play onto the right, which I feel like Sancho's best period as a player had come when Hakimi was playing behind him at Dortmund, and that was one of my favourite combinations to watch down the right. I always tweeted about it. I would lock into Dortmund games just to watch those two play together, because he'd always know when the overlap is, when the underlap is from Hakimi. And I think Diogo Dalot in pre-season was getting in great positions and knowing that Sancho can play him in and vice versa. No. So let's give that an opportunity and not just play him on the left, because I think he's not really been part of this Man United setup, like the whole Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno midfield, Martial, exactly. Rashford, he's not been part of that settled team. So
he had a little bit of form at the start of the season, didn't it? Just a little bit against Liverpool and Leicester. He really played well and he looked promising.
Yeah, he scored in those games.
If that Sancho comes out again, that's good.
Yep. Daniel Kirk in the Super Chat says, Jay, guess the song Glazers will be selling if their colours are like my dreams, red, gold and green, red, gold and green. Do you like my version?
Very nice.
You know that song?
Yeah, red, gold, and green. Culture Club.
Culture Club. See, I didn't even know. Karma Chameleon, innit?
I'm We're 80s kids, Jay.
I knew there was no danger there. But boy, George. Right, talking of, you know, what's going on and players improving, we wanted to get into a bit of a discussion about how Erik ten Hag has sort of seemed to up the levels from certain players from last season, especially. We know a few players struggled under Ralf Rangnick and even before he arrived, to be fair. This season, we've seen a lot of players who, there were a few question marks around, who have sort of kicked on a bit. I'll start with the goalkeeper, David De Gea. Now, first of all, Abdul, what did you make of his season last season? Because it seems to be a sort of a point of contention. Some people saying he had a good season, others saying he weren't that great. Others saying, well, he's one of our better players. And then the counter to that one is, well, we were terrible, so that doesn't mean much. Do you think he was bad last season?
I think he was. Not bad. I wouldn't say bad. I think he was worse than what a lot of fans were making out to be. I think fans were making him out to be as our saviour and this and this and that. Now, listen, he's a great shot stopper. And when you're getting that many shots at your goal throughout a season with an experienced shot stopper like David De Gea, he's going to look good, no doubt. But I think last season was very evident how important it was that we tried to build, and Ten Hag, and I'll get onto the season with David De Gea, Ten Hag needed to build a structure where you limit what he does on the ball, but also you allow him to receive it in certain places. And that form, for me, what he was doing on the ball that was hurting us, where people overlooking it. One of the most games that stood out for me was Leeds United away. Every time he gets the ball, bang out onto the throw in. Atletico Madrid, we were both at that game before one of their goals, didn't it? Like, he just put it out onto a throw. People need to stop undermining how important those moments are. When you're a good team, or you're a team like when we face Atletico, Atletico would have probably wanted to give us more of the ball, even though we let them have control of that game. They're going to pounce on those opportunities. You look at City. City are one of the best sides in Europe over the last 10 years. But how many times do we see teams go away and get points off a moment or two? And those moments are very important. When you're a top team, as you get better, you cannot allow yourself to be giving away the ball out into a throw-in just like that and things like that. Those little moments there will give the team the opportunity that you're facing. So for me, David De Gea this season, the first two games, three games, same problem. Brentford away. Like, we should not be losing 4-0 to Brentford. Even the goal that you wouldn't say really was his fault, Luke Shaw probably should do better there on the break for Brentford. He's got ages to come out and close the angle, and he doesn't, and he wasn't proactive enough. But then from that point, from when we signed Casemiro, and I think from when Ten Hag found a way to play out of the back in a manner where David De Gea doesn't have to do as much, and, you know, just even from a tactical perspective, I've not looked into it enough to see those little adjustments, but you can tell that Ten Hag's made it better for him. I think he's even become more of a leader in the team. I think from the back, you feel a bit more of his presence in the sense that he actually gets stuff done, gets his job done. He's been fine, not world class, but I think he's been getting the job done. I think that's almost what you want from him, just for this season. If United are going to go out and get another keeper, I love what David De Gea has done from that point, from the Brentford game so far. So, listen, we all love David De Gea. He's done so much for the club over the years in our worst periods and our best periods. So you've got to want the best for him. It's not that I would want anything bad for a player in the team, but is he the keeper in the next 3-4 years that will Man United, you know, have as the main guy?
Is he
going
to be happy being a number two to a new keeper?
Well, what do you make of him this season then, Andy? Because
you know, his clean sheet record, I think, is very good. Is it 4 Premier League clean sheets? He's on a bit of a good spell,
yeah,
anyway.
He equaled Alex Stepney's record on Saturday.
There's always been question marks about his command of his area and his distribution as well, like Abdullah was saying. Do you see him fitting in moving forward for Tenago? Do you think this could be a swan song?
I don't think it's his swan song.
Yeah.
I think he can adapt and be part of a squad. We've got him now. We'll do it till the end of the season with him. We've lost the guy's gone back to Newcastle.
We've got
Huddleston as a backup.
No,
Heaton.
Some Huddleston's in the under-23s.
My apologies.
It's all right, but, you never know, because stick him in goals.
We've got two experienced goalkeepers between now and the end of the season. He's going to play some
weird
games.
One of the Dubravka ones, sorry to just on that. Yeah, because like, you've got Tom Heaton who can do a job.
Oh yeah,
well, Dubravka. I know Newcastle recalled him, but it just seemed a bit like
you bring one of reserve lads through into the squad as well. It could be a blessing in disguise for him as well.
When you see David De Gea sort of playing for Manchester United this season, when you see the crosses coming in or whatever, when you see like Abdul's talking about, you know, just distribution, do you feel confident in him
At the moment, at the start of the season, no, because we were all over the place. Let's say the Brentford game, they were all disgraceful, and he was the only one who actually come out and apologised straight after the game. This is on me.
The first goal that went under him, was it?
Yeah, was that when he passed to Eriksen, wasn't it? Luke Shaw,
The first one went under him, then he passed to Eriksen.
He apologised,
and I think...
To be fair.
That Brentford game, it was a turning point for a lot of people. It was for the team, for De Gea as well, because he's been worked on. He saved us now this season. He saved some points.
I think Ten Hag adjusted, don't you think, as well, in terms of how expansive he can be playing out from the back?
You can play to your limits and play to your advantages, and that's what David De Gea is doing. If it's enough to do this season, maybe like look at somebody else next season, and he's part of the squad.
I'd love that to happen. My only worry is, hopefully we move on from the Glazers in the next few months and that gets sorted. But I think one of the key things is, over the years, it's almost as we give a contract to a player and we can't plan with, okay, now you're a squad player, now this is the right thing to do. Now, sort of what Sir Alex was doing with a lot of our older players.
He ain't no Phil Jones, mate.
But I think we don't want him, for example, we don't want the club to go, okay, he signed a contract now. Do you know what? Let's delay getting a modern young keeper and levelling up. We've seen what Alisson done for Liverpool. How incredible has Alisson been for Liverpool? Like, they don't make top four that season when they get back
Martin
in it.
Martinez at Villa?
Without
Jesus
him.
Christ, you're the World Martin Cup winner.
Someone in the chat, actually, Matthias Senator, says we should get Emi Martinez or Livakovic.
United are definitely going to look at a keeper in the summer. Definitely.
There's too many out
just
there.
Just into that then, how much of an improvement do you see from De Gea under tonight? Have you seen much of an improvement from last season?
Yeah, for sure.
More commanding, dominating his box. He's got a trusted back four.
That helps, doesn't it? Like you say, there is a bit of a domino effect. You've got Casemiro in front of a back four that's a bit better.
His decision making with his passing, like before, he used to just risk that pass onto the fullback, even when he knows it's a bit of a half chance. It goes out for a throw in, and he's thinking, oh, we've lost possession now. Now it feels like he only really does that when it's a short pass. But mainly we see the build-up. It's going to either one of the centre-backs where they come short. Then Man United build up in a smart
West
way
Ham.
Out of the back.
West Ham in the league. Oh, them saves in the last few minutes.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, Jesus definitely Christ. Saved us there. I don't know what was going on there.
That's why he's another
That's
level.
Why you have him in the team.
Daniel Kurtz says, absolutely love the channel. Need to do a live in a wheelchair accessible venue near Edinburgh. Would come and meet you all. Yeah, we're definitely going to do some more live events. So we'll give you a shout, Daniel. Obviously, we'll push it on the channel. Okay, De Gea, yeah, improvement now. We know what De Gea is capable of. We've seen it in the past. The thing for me is, you know, is it worth the sort of faults he's got with his distribution, his command, because of the payoff you get with his shot stopping? Now, there's been times when his shot stopping hasn't been as great, but in other times, 2017, when it was absolutely elite. Diogo Dalot. Dalot, you mentioned him earlier, Abdullah. In pre-season, he had a very good pre-season, Dalot. He had a decent sort of run of games, didn't he, under Ralph Ragnick? Okay. He was one of the few that sort of didn't embarrass himself. This season, though, after that initial, I think the Brentford and the Brighton game, no one was really covering themselves in glory. But after that, the Liverpool game onwards, I thought he was pretty fantastic, to be honest with you. There was a four-game spell where they were arguably his best ever games for Manchester United within a four-game spell. And he's been relatively consistent, hasn't he, really?
Yeah. I've always been banging the Diogo Dalot drum, to be fair.
No, you have.
And I've got a lot of abuse for it properly in the lives last season. I've actually watched him at Milan, and I think that's what a lot of our fans don't understand is I've actually like gone out of my way and gone, you know, I want to see like how he does there. And I've seen a lot of his all-round game.
It helps him, that experience.
Massively. He loved it out there. He didn't start every game, but he actually had a run of games. He had a run of games at left back, had a run of games at right back. And interestingly, when I was out in the World Cup, I spoke to someone that was quite close to him. And we had an interesting conversation where, you know, about this, you know, the last period sort of going into Ollie and Ralph and then into Ten Hag. And I think he always meant, well, he always mentioned to them saying, all I want is a run of games. I want to make it at Man United. I want to, you know, be a main player here. And I think that wanting to be the guy here, you see it in his style, like how aggressive he's become.
Yeah.
But I think the advantage he's got given sort of with Ten Hag coming in that he added to his game under Ralph is off the ball. Off the ball is so important to Ten Hag. So in pre-season, Aaron Wan-Bissaka struggled. Now, we'll get onto Wan-Bissaka in the last couple of games. There's been some improvement. But in the pre-season games where Wan-Bissaka did play, he wouldn't push up when he had to push up because you've got to recover the ball high up the pitch. Diogo Dalot under Ralph, you'd see him so high up winning the ball and then Man United are in a better position. It's not the defensive side of the game isn't just about you winning a one-on-one. Like tackle and things like that, and if someone gets in behind your defence, you can go and, you know, slide and win the ball the way Wan-Bissaka does. It looks great, it's brilliant, but what you do off the ball is just as important. And I think Diogo Dalot's positioning off the ball high up the pitch, Manchester United, actually allows Manchester United to be more proactive winning the ball high up the pitch. And the whole inverted fullback, sometimes when him and Luke Shaw come either inside, and Luke Shaw mainly does it, he allows him to hold the touchline. He's got to improve with his delivery, there's no doubt about that. But I think the whole thing with Ronaldo being there took away from his game as well, because he's always got a ping. He always looks at Ronaldo as like, ping it in the box, this and that. But we've seen there's a variation to his crosses. Like the two assists he got in the World Cup were both sort of ground assists, where it's like he's beating his man, which he does really well always with that step over. But it's then looking at that ball across the ground, and one of them was a pullback. So again, so pleased with Diogo Dalot, yeah,
exactly.
And I think he wants to be it. And
it's a compliment as well when you link with Real Madrid as well, because they're looking at him now. He's actually coming on.
I mean, he's been linked with some league clubs, hasn't he?
Yeah, so yeah,
like you say, ongoing contract talks.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, definitely keep. Yeah, definitely keep him on. I wasn't a fan when he started, like you say, under Jose, and he's like, I thought after the second season, it's just a waste of time with him. But he, like you say, he has turned it around, full 360 there.
Also, as well, we forget with some players do get better as they get into the 20s. As they get 22, 23, 24, you see them progress, and they're
getting
better.
Games, isn't
yeah, he's getting yeah, I mean, better.
Yeah, you
it's
can.
Like we
yeah,
all of a sudden, can peak from we look at players now and we go, at 22, that's almost what you're going to get for the rest of the career. You're not. Loads of players that kick on, and he's one that's been doing it very well over the last few years, and long may it continue. Seth Smith, welcome to the academy. Thanks for your support. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, if we'd have had this a month ago, I wouldn't have even mentioned him. No, it's no disrespect to the kid, but he wasn't even getting on the bench, I think, or if he was, he certainly weren't getting off it. He's played the last few games, done very well. Crowd seems to be with him, putting in good performances, doing things we know he can do, like timing his tackles well, and also, you know, getting down the other end of the pitch and affecting the game there. I'm not going to say, like, oh, that's it now, he's turned his United career around or whatever, because I think there's still a question mark there, considering we paid $50 million for him and he's barely played for the last 18 months. But I'll start with you, Abdullah. Do you feel that he's improved from what we saw last season for the few games we've seen him this season?
I think, yeah. I think I was quite worried that he wouldn't have a chance coming back into this team because one aspect of his game that he really, really doesn't have, which I think he did once against Wolves, which is, okay, great, is that switch of the ball.
Yeah,
that's so important under Ten Hag, because we could tell with Ten Hag that when you look at the training clips actually in pre-season, a couple of the goals we were scoring and stuff is how quick the ball gets moved from the left to the centre to the right. And I think that is so crucial. And I think sometimes you need to go over the top of the defence, and he can't really do that. He did it on one occasion against Wolves, but off the ball, much better. That's where I thought he'd really come short, fall short. But again, Ten Hag showing that he's worked on players. These players are hopefully working in their own time, and that's what we'd want to see when Sancho comes back. So hopefully that's a bit of the same thing with Sancho when he comes back into the team. We see improvements in his game. But yeah, Wan-Bissaka, last couple of games, you got to give it him. And I'd love to have him in the lowest road. You need good squad options as you go forward. You need competition.
I think.
Yeah, you do need competition. It's a really good point, that, because all the teams that have won things, and even United, when we've won things, we've had
you know, at least backup and a bit of competition in positions all over the pitch, not just maybe the striker.
In 99, we had four top forwards. Like,
yeah. 99, but in March, strikers. I thought Teddy Sheringham's United career was almost done, and by May, he was like the hero of the hour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you need options, don't you?
I think Wan-Bissaka is giving Ten Hag food for thought now. Maybe you'll play a part this season and I'll reassess it. Because he played the pre-season games, didn't he? He played in Spain, didn't he?
Yeah.
He played against Cadiz and Betis.
He didn't look great.
He got rollicking for it, didn't he, as well? So I think he's definitely giving him food for thought, and he's played his way, at least, maybe to play a transfer maybe this summer. But if he carries on form, then you've got to reevaluate. Like, where have you been for the last 18 months, lad?
Do you know what, though? I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I think there's always been, I don't know, I don't want to start spreading rumours that maybe he was struggling a little bit, or reports that maybe he was struggling a little bit. And also, you sort of think, it was such a mess, this club, last season, wasn't it?
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? There was so much going on.
Everybody was getting abused.
It was a bit rudderless. There didn't seem to be anyone in proper control of it. You had a manager who no one even knew who he was, and he was just, no one was really listening to. You had players who, you know, contracts were up, no one knew if they were staying. You know, it was like, what even is our style of play? What is our plan here? What are we trying to do? What is our long-term vision for this club? No one knew anything. Now you've got a manager in who knows what he's doing, who has a set of rules. You've got youngsters coming through. You've got good signings. It all seems to be making sense. Like you were saying earlier, you've got the owners finally, it looks like they're selling up. It feels like there's a bit of optimism, and maybe it's just a better place to be for a young player.
An environment. I always mention this when we talk about, you know, the likes of Rashford coming through, and we've seen Alanga and a couple of the other players now, Garnacho. One thing is, I always worry with those young players that come through the academy as well, is you want them to come through into a settled environment. Manchester United have not had a settled environment since Sir Alex, really. It's like constant new systems, constantly changing things, constantly players who are in, like Pogba's and Lingard's and stuff like that, contracts coming up, do they have an influence on the players around them, things. So again, that takes a big mental knock on
effect. I read this on Saturday, Ten Hag is have you heard this, like, assuming control of the under-21s?
Yeah, I did see that.
Because he's done this at Ajax, I mean, and the club have given him full cooperation on it. You go for it, I'm all for it.
It's the way to do it, because you
integrate all the teams together.
Look at the difference between, like, you know, someone like Jose, for example, who didn't even care about the under-21s, who's interested in it. You've got someone who's very hands-on with it, and that's what you need to see. Someone in the chat there, sorry, just asked a question. SH Callahan says, Jay, any noise around Jim Ratcliffe buying us? Gone quiet over the last month. I don't know. I think, you know, we've got to wait and see who's coming in or what bids are coming in. I think this could be a little bit of a bidding war, like what we saw at Stamford Bridge. We're going to move on from Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He's only, you know, had a few games. Rafael Varane, now this sounds crazy for someone who's won the Champions League four times, but last season, I think we just mentioned that this season, certainly in terms of playing, he's playing a lot more, isn't he? Which gives us a lot better balance in defence, because he's such a class act. The issue we had last season was never about his ability, it was just the fact he was injured a lot. I think he's already got 12 Premier League appearances this season, which is, it's a decent return considering we played, what, 16 games? How much of a difference do you think it makes to this team to have him playing regularly?
I think it is a difference for him to playing regularly, and it can only help him, and it can help the team. And you just need confidence. When you're playing, you get confident.
Yeah. What do you make of it, Abdullah? Because there's never, ever been any question marks about Rafael Varane's ability. I don't think there has, anyway. It's just a case of, have we got a player here who's injury prone, as his leg started to sort of pick up more knocks and not been able to recover, because we've seen playing so few games last season. Yet this season, both for club and country as well, let's not forget, he absolutely put his, you know, body on the line in the World Cup. He's playing a lot of football, and we need him.
He is, but I think Rafael Varane, it's no secret that from even when he was young, he always has patches in the season where you'd say he's got glass ankles. He's got quite a common type of injury. I think when you look at the one against Chelsea where it's his ankle again. So he seems to always pick that up, but this is where you need a squad. This is where the top teams have the best set of defenders. But Rafael Varane, as a player, wonderful, wonderful act. You could tell, I think, he's someone that you actually would love to have in a dressing room.
Definitely.
He seemed like a lovely guy, but he also brings class.
He'll back you up, and you back him up all the way. You've got his back, he's got your back. He played in the World Cup final, and it was a virus.
How many games
shattered against Argentina.
You mentioned the World Cup final, but how many games big games he played in his career. Like, it's countless. It's Champions League finals, World Cup finals.
That's his second World Euros, Cup final.
Euros 2016.
You know what I mean?
Big games.
He had a bit of a stinker in the Euros, didn't he, against Switzerland? I mean, that was the only downside, wasn't it?
But last Euros. Yeah, but that's where the experience is. Like, even now with the Premier League, I actually see certain parts of his game. It's like Casemiro. We've all watched enough of Madrid at the top level because they make it so far. They've actually added bits to their game that I've never seen. I think Casemiro is the biggest one, like where he wins the ball and he's used to just giving it, okay, Cruz, Modric are there, give the short pass. Now he's seen him being a bit more commanding of the ball, a bit more expansive with his play. Same thing with Varane. I think one part of his game is when the ball's coming to him in the air, which is something that I actually always seen he had a bit of a trouble with Madrid, is the way he clears it. And I think now he actually has a bit more composure, where I don't know if you guys noticed this, he actually knocks it down into the receiving player in front of him.
Yeah.
And then we set from there. Right. And I think that's an adjustment to Ten Hag's style, because now someone always seems to come short when that ball, I think I noticed it in the Forest game, the ball would come high up and then Varane every time would just deal with it, but there's always someone to receive there. So, again, adjustments in a tactical way, same thing as with Dalot improving, understands space very well, played at the elite level, great character to have in the squad. So happy, and he's improved massively, Rafael Varane.
Mushfiq Saman says, my favourite thing about Ten Hag is he doesn't write anyone off. This gives hope and motivation to everyone in the squad and youngsters as well. You prove yourself in practice and you'll play. I think that's a very good point. You saw it with... It's like with McTominay when Casemiro came in. McTominay kept his place for the first few games because he was playing so well. I mean, that sort of says to anyone.
Then he drops off again, comes on again.
Yeah, it's like
McTominay in a nutshell.
No, but my point is, if you play well...
Oh, it gives you a
chance,
yeah.
Even Casemiro was coming as a big signing, has won the lot. If you're playing well, you still keep your pace, and I think that's a great message to the other players. Let's talk about the most obvious one for me anyway, who's improved massively and is arguably playing the best football of his career. Marcus Rashford had a very good World Cup. Don't get me started on Gareth Southgate, we'll be here all day. Was scoring before it for Manchester United, has hit the ground running again after it, getting the winner against Wolves after being dropped from the starting 11. Andy, what have you made of Marcus Rashford this season, especially compared to last season?
I have a few more Lions, mate, for a start. Fucking dead right. Put it on snooze. If that's going to be the reaction, brilliant. You know what I mean? Be a lazy sod.
Off the pitch,
yeah. Stay in bed, get disciplined and start scoring goals. But he has been brilliant. I mean, he's turned it all around in the space of 6 months. Because, like I say, in the summer, I was comprehending get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because his brother is his agent, and he was flirting like with PSG and all that. And he's openly admitted that he had problems off the pitch, and it sort of came onto the pitch, wasn't it? Because fans were clashing with him, he was clashing with fans. I remember that game at the end of Old Trafford, but he's completely turned it all around and he's flying, and it's brilliant to see. That's the Rashford we all want to see.
Because we always know when he's got it in him, haven't we? It's not like with some of these players, you might go, we weren't sure whether, you know, is he as good as we hoped he would be? But Marcus Rashford dropped two 20-plus goal seasons back-to-back. That tells you something. You know, at one point, he was, like, I think, the top goal scorer and assister in Europe. Do you know what I mean? It was like, we know what he's capable of. But I still feel like we're seeing a little bit more to his game.
Is there more to come, though?
You've been probably... is one of his biggest fans, and you should wear that as a badge of honour, because you did the hard miles going toe-to-toe with everyone last season online. Do you feel completely vindicated in that?
Yeah. To be fair, I think with Marcus
you should
Rashford,
do, because
it's,
you were having taking no prisoners. When it came to the criticism of him last season,
because I think he just summed up sort of Manchester United over the years. I think Marcus Rashford is a prime example of where things go right and wrong for Manchester United. You know, taking care of players' development. People need to start understanding the constant changing of managers, constant changing of environment. Again, it's a topic that I'm talking over again, but I think you really see it in Rashford. We'll take up a knock-on effect. If one game, Newcastle away, I've gone to that game, and I'm seeing Rashford picking up the ball off Diogo Dalot and Maguire in like that half defensive space on the right. What's he going to do there?
Yeah.
Where do you see Salah, Mane, Son, the players of his style, or the players of that type, you know, of where they play as inside forwards? Where do you see them get the ball? Under Oli, plays on the left, on the inside of the fullback, does brilliantly. Pogba has a bit of a strop or whatever, what's happening with Pogba. Okay, Pogba's now onto the left, does great Pogba. But then it's like you're taking away your future plan of like what you want to do with him. And it's that constant change. People need to understand that has a knock-on effect on players. When you're constantly changing where they're playing and the environment's changing around you, it takes a lot on your mental toll. And I think it's actually, you know, I rate Marcus Rashford for coming through it, because a lot of players have fallen off over the years at Manchester United because they can't handle it mentally. But he's actually fought back. And when you're talking about improving his game, I do agree, Jay. I think there's a lot to him the season that he's added. I remember when Mo Salah, when he first joined Liverpool, the first couple of seasons he can get in behind a defence, you know, can be a threat, can finish really well. But I think when he actually levelled up, and I think obviously Rashford's not even really done that in terms of the goals what Salah did at the start at Liverpool, but in terms of his all-round game, I think when you started seeing Salah get into the box, use his body a bit better, his composure a bit better.
Yeah, he's running at people. I enjoyed that Saturday because I've not seen that in a while, because usually you just play a pass through, Marcus shoots through, doesn't he? Yeah. He's running at people. He's like, he's holding
defenders off and he's getting in, and it's that combination of composure and strength.
He was free on him on Saturday and he still scored.
And even the goal again, was it Villa before the World Cup, the ball comes over the top, he holds off the, was it Mings or something? Mm. And again, using his body, like, doesn't do enough of that.
He's got, like, attributes before that you sort of, sometimes go under the radar. He's very strong. He always has been very strong. But now he's added as well, heading to his game. You know,
yeah, the West Ham goal.
He scored two headers in a way. I can't believe what I'm saying, because he was never, you know, he scored.
And done that since his debut. Yeah,
I was like, always very critical of that part of his game,
because there was times when he had a free header and he's just spearing it over. And you're like, come on, you got to do better there. But he's you know, he's obviously worked on parts of his game that he needs to.
Newcastle had done that. That now he'll gobble it up.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. He's added sort of elements to his game. He's improved on the bits of his game that were already there. Do you know what I mean? And he just seems to be enjoying his football a lot more. We was with Brian McClair over in Dublin, and Brian McClair, if you remember Marcus, when he posted a picture of Instagram of him signing his first contract or whatever when he was a kid, Brian McClair stood behind him, Chucky coached him, and he was saying, you know, you can tell he's enjoying himself. Saying when you're playing for Man United, you should enjoy it. You're playing for the greatest club in the world, and you want to see, especially when you're scoring goals for Manchester United.
When you're a Man United fan, I think people forget
you should be enjoying that, but
he wasn't.
He wasn't enjoying it. You could see. And he didn't look confident. He looked like he didn't, at one point, under Ralf Rangnick, I don't even think he looked like he didn't even want the ball at times. And I'm not saying that's the case, but that's how it looks. Whereas now, he's demanding the ball, he's making great runs, he's shrugging off defenders, he's getting goals, he's bringing players in around him. He's just sort of becoming,
I think, when he has like a bad patch in a game or something, the one difference is the season. You feel like it doesn't matter now, he just fights back and it's like, oh, I'm just going to try and get a goal, I'm going to try and make something happen. I think that's the whole maturity as well aspect, where we need to remember that. What is he, 25 now, Marcus? So
yeah.
So again, he's reaching, there's more to come. Yeah, I mean, he's like entering his peak.
27, 28, what's he going to be like then? Could be a full-blown striker if
Marcus stays away from injury and keeps doing what he's doing, man, then we could see
scary,
some
yeah numbers. Just concentrate on your football side, that's fine.
I do you know what though, and this is another thing that Chucky got annoyed with Lee Dixon was saying, though, like, he looks like he wants to be in half. I don't ever think there's a case of Marcus like not wanting to beat United or whatever. I think it's a case of just, again, maybe one of the ones that are suffering from this horrible time we went through. And it doesn't help when you're struggling for a bit of form or whatever, and you see a kid like Andy Langer keeping you out of the team at times, which is what happened. That must have been a bit frustrating. But in terms of his application, actually, and all that sort of stuff, anyone wants to look at that, look at what happened at the weekend. Late for training, dropped from the first team. Does he spit his dummy out? Does he react in a negative way? No. Scores a goal as a stormer and holds his hands up after the game, says it's my fault, I was late, and the manager
even had
the
laugh and a giggle about it.
The manager knows, told us the rules. I know the rules, and it's my fault for breaking him. So no, long may it continue. Just quickly before we sort of wrap it up, Anthony Martial. It's a bit of a weird one, this, because pre-season did really well. Everyone was starting thinking, actually, because it looked like at one point he was done. There might be a player here, Eric Ten Hag rates him, and he gets games. He could do something. His goals per 90 minutes this season has been great. The problem is there hadn't been enough 90 minutes. And also, his last couple of games, I know he scored against Forest, wasn't a great performance. Against Wolves, didn't look really at the races. What have you made of Anthony Martial?
I think you summed up sort of what's happened with him perfectly in terms of, you know, last couple of games, you've not really felt what he's given you in pre-season and the games where he's come back. But I think it's sort of that other level now when we spoke about Diogo Dalot and Wan-Bissaka, where you need that competition in the team. Exactly. You need players to push you. And I think also he's a different type of forward. So in that Wolves game, we really needed someone to hold the ball, give it to the wide players, give it to Bruno and get into the box. But he's more of someone who wants to come short. Now, you need that. Now, almost yesterday with the situation with Marcus and the fact I think Garnacho is better as a game changer and you don't want to put a lot of pressure on Garnacho and stuff. Obviously, he missed the chance at the start of the game. You might have even gone, you know what, Martial can start on the inside left, have a big number nine play off him. You could probably get more out of Martial now. But a lot of the time you come out of the box and you think, I remember there was an occasion where the ball's bouncing on the edge of the box against Wolves and he's on the edge of the box and Bruno's just like, oh, you feel like this is such a great opportunity to just get it in. And no one was there bothering the Wolves defenders. The Wolves defenders had a free, like, thing. They just had Anthony to deal with, who's obviously he's not physical or he's not number nine. So again, I think Martial, it's anything can happen in terms of runs of form and players can thing, but I think it's more of a style thing. Like that Wolves game where he did a proper nine. So it's
remember
about
Burnley. Yeah. The Burnley game where he took it, turned around, drew the keeper, yeah, drew that fantastic save. That's what he's capable of doing as well. It's just what, I mean, even a derby, he looked really good. Even like,
took control of the occasion a bit and it come on and was like, let me just
his record in the derby is very good.
He was leading the line in that second half, yeah, and he got two goals and he actually had a good 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was that. We need to see more of it.
It wasn't even that, really, to be fair, was it? I think he got two goals in like 15 minutes or something, wasn't he?
I mean yeah, that, was, and that's the and that was quick. A lively Martial.
Abinav Verma in a super chat says, players who didn't go to Qatar have always been slower than players who actually went. Is this rustiness? Perhaps, maybe. Before we wrap up, Wally of the Week.
Start with Andy. I've not got one yet.
I was seeing something today, the Cameroon football team. 17 of their players have failed an age test.
Is that legit, though?
I read this this afternoon. I showed him. They failed at African qualifiers for the African Con. 17 of their players.
21 out of the 30.
21 out of 30.
Bloody hell, you're right.
Yeah, so Cameroon, Wally's in a way. I mean, that was brilliant. It's hilarious.
I mean, at least they're consistent.
At least they're consistent faking your age. I mean, like, Jesus Christ. Imagine if that was happened in the Premier League or something.
It's yeah. I mean, that's
brilliant.
They're gonna have to do a bit of rethinking that under 17 squad. Abdullah, if you got as well as it.
Do you know what? Yeah. I'm gonna go for people who have you seen that?
I like
that
it
video,
when it starts with people.
The people that were posting a video of Andrew Tate saying, not this Andrew Tate.
Obviously, let's not. The guy that just. This issue.
All he did was order a pizza and it got rumbled.
Yeah, go on. Let's be careful how we go down this route, guys, by the way.
No, but check this. Go on.
It's a pizza.
Right, go on.
Everyone's just like tweeting that video of saying, well, they're going to come for me because that's how the Matrix works. It's like, well, the police are going to, they're going to take me out. Was that? Of course they are, because you've committed a crime.
Allegedly, at this point.
Allegedly,
but yeah.
So we don't know.
It's like if you set fire to a building and go, you know, one day the fire brigade are going to be on me. Yeah. Like, and everyone goes, he knew. Yeah, he knew. Just set fire to
I don't speak. I don't speak a lot about him, and the thing is, I don't bother with it online. But it's just that aspect of everyone, like all those kids online saying, well, look, he predicted it. He's definitely like...
Yeah, he's definitely a bit of a victim of the Matrix.
Yeah, whatever. Come I'm on, the original man. G, so just forget it.
Yeah, I quite like that. Like that Wally of the Week. I might jump on that. I was going to jump on that because, yeah, I just think he's been a right nana. And some of the reaction, not just him, the reaction to it all has been a little bit,
get me wrong.
He's just a comedian.
I mean, also, he's wrecking that name.
If he goes down, send the money my way. I'll take a view, guy.
He's ruining that name. I'm sick of seeing Andy Tate trending and thinking the worst. And it's not even you.
Oh, I've seen everybody's like, Andy Tate is going down for this, and it was all part of the master plan. Fucking dead right. He's signed his own warrant.
Right, on that bombshell, make sure you go and check out Andy Tate. Where can people find you?
I'm on TikTok and I'm on Instagram. You find me?
Andy Tate on TikTok. You don't get any better than that. The real Andy Tate, that is. Abdullah, where can people find you?
Pure Ball Network Pure on Ball. Twitter.
Say it's like a thing, that Ball. One for a second.
Pure Ball Network. So, yeah, on Twitter, we've got some, you know, some analysis threads coming through, some of the guys in the community on Twitter that are joining in on the page. So we're getting that going again. It's AbdulGH on my personal Twitter as well. So yeah, catch me on there waffling about Man United as usual.
That's what we like to do. We like to waffle about Manchester United. You know where to find me. Make sure as well you are checking out the channel, subscribing to the channel. We'll have the watch along for the Bournemouth game tomorrow. We'll also have the preview up later on today. Big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the channel as well. Go and check out them. Using the code PADDOCK20, you're going to get 20% off. Sorry? Devil's 20. Sorry, I said Paddock 20 there. Getting confused. Devil's 20 has been corrected. 20% off and free shipping. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.